Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A new sound, a new look, and a whole new way to bring you everything Buffalo Bills. Bills Wall of Famer Steve Tasker and the voice of the Bills, John Murphy, bring you One Bills Live. Weekdays noon to 3 right here on the home of the Bills, ESPN Rochester.
13-man sports director Mike Catalano, good with his time and joining us now in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. First time we've been able to talk to you, Mike, since NFL free agency opened. And I wanted to go right off the top, Nick Foles will never win another playoff game. Not because he's not good, but because he loves Philadelphia too much.
I think he loved the stability there. I think he loved the coaching. And I think he became so beloved in that locker room and with that team that he performed at his best. Now, can he create something like that in Jacksonville? It's going to be a lot tougher. I mean, you know who his head coach is.
Yeah.
So I think that's the issue there. But, you know, Foles is a guy, if you're Jacksonville, I see why they did it. I mean, you have a chance to get Foles. He is stability. He's got, you know, he is that guy. And he's won a Super Bowl. And you've been, you know, an underperforming team at quarterback for a long time now. So I can see why they did it, but I think it's going to be tough. I think that's a head coach that's got, you know, 1 foot out the door. That's a team that had a lot of internal issues last year. But Foles, you know, you can't help but root for the guy, and he got paid, so good for him. But I think you are talking about tough sledding now when you're looking at what Houston's got and what obviously what Indianapolis has. I think he's going to have a tough time in that conference and certainly in that division.
He hasn't been successful anywhere outside of Philadelphia, and I think it's so funny now. It's revisionist, and we can look back at it and kind of laugh, but the scene from Hard Knocks where Jeff Fisher is cutting Nick Foles from the Rams and asking, you know, say, hey, man, hope you land on your feet. Good luck to you. Yeah, I think he did all right.
Yeah, well, what's funny, I mean, listen, did anybody have success out that wasn't a Tennessee Titan back to the Steve McNair days of with Jeff Fisher?
Right.
I mean, obviously, he didn't know what he was doing with quarterbacks. The game passed him by, and fortunately, he's out of the league. And Foles, really, for the rest of his career, was basically, you know, with Fisher. I mean, he was a backup in Kansas City, and he had two good stints, with obviously one very good one. But he's a different player than he was back when he first started. He's a different person, what it seems like. And, you know, he's the most beloved former Philadelphia athlete. Chase Utley had that. Sorry, Gene. Chase Utley had that for the longest time, but I think Foles, because of what he did individually, will always be that guy. And I'm happy that a team like the Giants wasn't smart enough to try to sign him, because I didn't want the Eagles to have to see him twice a year.
I don't know if you knew this. Utley's retired, so I don't have to deal with him anymore. So
no, you just have to deal with the Phillies.
Mike Catalano, 13 Wham, joining us. All these Buffalo Bills moves, Mike.
Yep.
Which one do you like the best?
Well, I think by the nature of what they were so lacking last year, I like the Morris deal the most. They so badly needed some control of that offensive line. They missed Eric Wood in many ways, and they need somebody to take charge. They need somebody to be helping Josh Allen in that way. That offensive line was pitiful last year. And it's funny, when I look at the signing, and I like what Brandon Bean has done. I think he's been efficient. You know, there's winning the efficiency game. There's getting good value. There's smart contracts and all that. Then the next step is, will these guys play? Can they play? How much of an upgrade are they? And while I will give him high grades for his efficiency and the smartness of the deals, and I like a lot of the players, the reality is you are overhauling two positions that were just abysmal for this franchise last year, wide receiver and offensive line. So I'm not trying to be negative in saying you couldn't help but to upgrade them, but to some extent, that's the truth, right? I mean, they were so bad at those two spots. When Robert Foster becomes your unquestioned number one guy, a guy you cut, 4 weeks into the season, That tells you how bad they were at wideout. So all of these guys were upgrades. And at offensive line, it's, you know, it'll be a totally reshuffled deck going into this year because they knew how bad it was. So I'm excited because they needed improvement. But let's face it, it wouldn't have been too difficult to improve what they put on the field last year.
It's kind of what I've been saying the same thing, Mike. I mean, I think it's the same thing as saying, well, the Sabres this year have improved. I mean, look at the improvement. Well, yeah, they were the worst team in the league last year. Hard not to improve. But I can't help but think, you look around the league and you look at free agency and you talk about value. And I do believe in value. I believe in getting the most bang for your buck with these players. I think a lot of successful teams have learned how to get the most value out of their players. But I can't help but think, if I'm Josh Allen and I look at my counterparts, the people that I'm going to be measured to for the rest of my NFL career, yeah, Darnold got himself a Le'Veon Bell. Oh, Mayfield got himself an Odell Beckham Jr. I got John Brown and Cole Beasley. How do you feel if you're Josh Allen? Are you excited?
Yeah, I think he's excited. I think they're upgrades for him. I think, you know, what people who didn't watch Josh Allen play, it's an odd thing. You know, I look at Allen and I think he improved a lot. I think the narrative of the, you know, mostly clueless national people is all the guy did was run and he never threw the ball. And you know, I thought he improved basically for the whole, you know, outside of that Jets game was a step back, but I think he improved during the year. And I think what they got him at the moment, again, they're going to go into the draft looking for more help for him, but I think it's an improved team. It's not as flashy as what the other guys got, but at the same time, I think they're an improved team. And I think if his offensive line is better, I think he'll perform well. Yeah, I mean, sure, would Odell Beckham Jr. could just light up the whole thing and be, you know, that much of a difference maker, and Mayfield is in that spot, but I think if you're Allen, I think you're pretty happy seeing the upgrades that they've gotten for you, because, like I said, in reality, he didn't have a whole heck of a lot to work with last year.
13 WHAM Sports Director Mike Catalana joining us here in the sports bar as we're 5 weeks away now from the NFL draft. We'll be talking a lot about that. Now are the Bills in a position to take the best player available? Do we have any idea what direction or what Brandon Bean might be thinking here at number 9 overall, Mike?
I don't think Brandon Bean's direction has changed one iota since free agency. I don't think you draft based on especially the types of moves they made in free agency. Outside of center, which that's a more of a longer-term fix. The other moves were all relatively short-term. So I don't think you're drafting for 5-plus years. You're drafting, I think he should always, almost always, be in a position of taking the best player available. So while I think they've certainly upgraded on the O-line and they've upgraded at wide receiver, I don't think that should have changed anything. Honestly, if you're thinking more in terms of depth, maybe you feel like you've obviously got more than you would have coming into free agency, but I think defensive line was a place they were looking at right away, and I don't think that's going to change. I think that's where they need a lot of help. I mean, everybody talks about their defense being pretty good, but I think, you know, Kyle Williams is gone, and I don't think they had a great pass rush last year, and they don't know what they're getting out of some of the guys. So I think D-line is definitely the possibility, especially in a deep draft. And again, if you're a smart general manager, last year it was not. It was not a case of best player available. It was, we got to go get a quarterback. I don't think there's any doubt that that's what they were thinking. Quarterback and obviously with Edmonds too, in terms of getting a leader for your defense. But again, I don't think free agency in these moves changes that one bit.
13 WHAM Sports Director Mike Catalana joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. I want to shift gears to the tournament. My co-host here believes that Syracuse would have been doing themselves a bigger favor had they laid down in the ACC tournament, not gotten that 8 seed that they have right now. Where are you on that, Mike?
Can I lay that out?
Go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, hear me out for a second. The 8 or 9 is a terrible seed. You would have been better as a 10.
Well, yeah, there is a thought there because you're obviously avoiding the one seed in your second game. That being said, you're a 10, you're getting a 2. I mean, is there a big difference between Michigan and Gonzaga? Which one would you rather play? And honestly, I think they – I'll put it to you this way. If I'm Gonzaga, if I'm OU and I'm Gonzaga, I am rooting like heck for Baylor in that first game. You don't want to see Syracuse in that second game. So, to your point, yeah, if you're at 10, right? 10 right now, so if they would have stayed in the same bracket and they would have had Florida's spot as 10 and you win against Nevada, you're playing Michigan in the second game. So, yes, I can see where you'd think it would be different, the normal one seed. But do you think Syracuse is going to be afraid of Gonzaga playing them in the second game?
No. Hey, well, take away 2017. Gonzaga is always the team you you look past in the tournament, right?
Right. But what I'm saying is, yes, I can see a 10, a 10 seed, you're avoiding the one if you're avoiding maybe Duke. But, I guess I look at it for Syracuse. I see the idea behind it. Honestly, that's why I always think about being a one seed. Man, a one seed is guaranteed to get a team like Syracuse. I don't see Baylor beating them. Do you guys see Baylor winning that game? Baylor can't shoot.
No, Syracuse wins round 1.
Terrible three-point shooting. Right? And now, what they can do is they can go to the board. They can hurt you on the boards. But, they've taken a step back. They lost one of their best players. I just don't see them as the kind of team that's going to light up Syracuse. So Syracuse, I think they're going to win. And I think they're going to give Gonzaga everything they have. Now, again, that being said, to your point, if they're a 10, depending on who your matchup with the 2 is, depending on which conference, but if they're going to stay where they were in the West, I don't know if they really wanted Michigan in that second game. But, I'm saying that, and then they're going to go play Gonzaga out West, and they could get run off court, which could happen too. But this Syracuse team's been a strange one. I'm 100% in agreement with Boeheim, who says that this is a better team. They have a better makeup of a team than they did last year. Mm-hmm. But last year's team I was with them in Dayton. I was with them in Detroit. There was something about that team that was strange. They didn't have the talent. They didn't play great. They could ugly it up just enough to stay in games. Whereas I think this team has a little more ability. If Battle is healthy, he makes big shots for them. You never know what you're going to get out of some of the other guys, and Buddy has stepped up for them. So I think they're oddly a more dangerous team. And then look at what that team did. That team, and they pushed Duke when they made it out to Nebraska last year after winning in the play-in and winning against Michigan State in Detroit. And then they found themselves out there playing Duke. So it is something about Boeheim at this time of the year. They seem more dangerous in this range sometimes than when they're the higher seed. But I think he thinks this is a sneaky team, and I think he thinks they can do some damage.
Who is Frank Howard? I mean, is he the player that we didn't see the whole year, or the guy who scored 28 against Duke?
Yeah, he can score. It's funny. You see this at sometimes. Obviously, when Tyus is not on the court, some of the guys feel they got to pick up things offensively a little bit. But he can just go away. There are games when he's just almost non-existent, and Boeheim has not had a lot of faith in him, but he's going back to him, and he's needed to go back to him because he can score. So, he kept him in that game. He really did. He's had a couple of games like that during the year, and he played well in stretches during the tournament last year. But again, that's why I look at this team and say, if you think about it, look at the games they got run off the court. Like the Virginia game was one of those games. But, Virginia shot just crazy lights out in that game. But they hung in with Carolina. Obviously they beat Duke once, hung in without Zion in the next one, and somehow found a way to hang in the game in the ACC tournament. So against top competition outside of really that Virginia game, they've been right in there with teams. And so, again, that's why I think if you're filling out that bracket, there's going to be a lot of people who think that's going to be an upset. If Syracuse gets by Thursday night, that they've got a legit. Now, again, you're beating a one seed, and there's a reason Syracuse is an 8, and not a higher seed. But I think they're a dangerous team.
13 WHAM Sports Director Mike Catalana in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Mike, I want to shift gears to the Sabres while we still have you for a couple more minutes. Boy, the fans' cries have gotten louder and louder for the firing of Coach Phil Housley. Maybe a win last night is a little bit of a deodorant and can calm that down a little bit. But I'm curious. I mean, it doesn't happen that often where you see a team with as much potential early in the season as the Sabres have collapse the way they did. And like I said earlier, it's easy to say that this team is improving. Proving based on what they were last year. They were terrible last year and just a little bit better this year. Have they done enough for Phil Housley to retain his job heading into next year?
You can certainly make the case to get rid of the head coach, right? Yeah. I mean, there have been times when it's just hard to watch. Again, we don't know inside that room really what Jason Bottrell thinks. And Jason Bottrell brought him in, so it's been 2 years there, and this year, like you said, you know, you can make some statistics, you can put some numbers up and say they're better, but that's because they were, as you said, they were abysmal last year. It is nice to see a little life. I mean, you're sitting there looking at what, 9 more games were left and thinking, oh my God, are they really going to play this badly to finish off the year? So against a good team, it was good to see them show some life at home and get a win. They still lost that trade. I don't think there's any doubt just because they beat St. Louis. I mean, Ryan O'Reilly's had a great year. But I don't know. And honestly, you know, there's been a lot of talk and a lot of people talk about Chris Taylor and when he'll get that opportunity in the NHL. I don't know if you can make that as an off-season move. I mean, I've been thinking about it a lot, thinking if Chris Taylor is their guy at some point, boy, it's tough to just go to your American Hockey League affiliate, pluck a guy who's never been an NHL head coach and do it as an off-season move. That's kind of the way I would think about it. But I think Chris Taylor is going to be an NHL head coach someday. And that, I would think that maybe someday it's going to be in Buffalo. But I don't know if that's your big, you know, we fire the coach at the end of the year and we decide we're going to make Chris Taylor the head coach and go start selling season tickets. I don't know if that's what they'll do. I think if they're really going to replace the head coach now, they've got to go for somebody with more of an NHL resume. That would just be my guess. But at the moment, and everything I'm hearing out of Buffalo is that Phil Housley is going to be back.
Yeah.
So fans may not want to hear that, and I think it might hurt him at the box office, and I think it's going to hurt him with suites. I think it's going to hurt him with season tickets. I think it's going to hurt him in a lot of ways if that's the case. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not the right move if they believe there are certain things happening. And, you know, some things you just got to wait to see play out. And it's been bad because everybody was so excited after the awful year last year. But, you know, it's like calling up Nylander. I mean, you know, of course they want to take a look at the guy. He wasn't great in Rochester, started to show some promise, played really well yesterday. Sometimes the light goes on for different guys at different times. That doesn't mean he's a regular NHL player yet, but what else are you going to do with 9 games left in the season? Except take a look at some of these other guys and give them a chance, and then maybe we'll see these guys back here for the playoffs. So it's experiment time. It's to see still what you have, but I feel for Sabres fans because it's been hard to watch. Yesterday not included.
Mike, the one ultimate decision maker we haven't heard from, but we rarely hear from, Terry Pegula. Has he learned his lesson? Because once upon a time, you had an underachieving team that all of a sudden, boom, hey, coach is out, and we're bringing back in Teddy Nolan and Pat LaFontaine, and here's the new face of our franchise. I mean, is Terry Pegula, you know, really giving the keys to the car here over to Jason Bottrell?
I would think he has, and I think they'd have to be smarter than that. And I don't know, do owners talk all over the – I mean, everybody wants to hear – first of all, you hear Terry Pegula says virtually nothing when he actually does talk. So I know there's always this big push in Buffalo they want to hear from. I know people want accountability and they want him to say something. I usually hear nothing. I want to hear more out of Jason Bottrell. Unless you believe that, you know, Jason Bottrell isn't the guy to fix this and you're going to, you know, bail on him after 2 years – which I don't think is going to be the case. I'd rather hear from the guy who's got the keys to run it, and I do believe he's got the keys to run it. So, yes, I would hope that the owner would have learned that quick fixes don't work. They don't work in the NHL. They don't work in – I mean, he's seen it with Rex. He's seen it with, you know, like you said, with Ted Nolan. Those things don't work. But I think it's going to be an interesting dynamic because Vatrell brought in Housley. So depending on what he actually sees, because there'll be some moves. And then the question is, you know, you brought Skinner in. Are you going to sign him, and does he want to sign here? I would still think the guy likes it in Buffalo. He seems to have liked it in Buffalo. The question is, you know, is he going to get the kind of offers other places that maybe he decides this isn't the place he wants to be? But I think they'll make every effort to bring him back next year.
13 Web Sports Director Mike Catalano, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Mike, always great with his time. The floor is yours. Tell us everything that you're working on this week at 13 Web Sports.
Yeah, well, we're talking a lot about the tournament today and, you know, and the other teams. How about, you know, like Anthony Lamb of Greece? How about that kid leading his team? And
Vermont,
you know,
yes. Stuff.
Yeah.
More Vermont coverage, Mike.
Well, yes. Yes, our assignment editor, J-Mac, loves to let everybody know he wants more. But we try our best at any time to get to mention the local guys, Quentin Rose and Sierra Dillard for UB Women. Great for her. I mean, I love seeing that. It would have been nice to see the Bonnies get in, and they really had a tough second half yesterday. But we'll talk a little bit about that. And we just got us, you know, Toby's going out for us to Salt Lake City. We got him all booked up to head out west for the games this week. So obviously a lot of focus right now is on what Syracuse is going to be doing. So we'll be hearing from Jim Boeheim and getting ready for that. And how about RIT hockey going after that first game, coming up with two wins? Very impressive. I don't know what Gene thought, but I thought after that first game, man, that's going to be a tough turnaround. And they came back to win, got themselves to Buffalo. So there's still a lot going on locally before we get ready for the NFL draft. So that's kind of what we're talking about at 13 today.
Mike, always appreciate your time on this busy Monday. Thanks so much.
All right, fellas. Good talking with you.
You got it. Mike Catalano, 13 WAM Sports. Always good catching up with the Rochester sports icon in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. And if you missed it or if you came in late, we'll get it for you on demand shortly at ESPNRochester.com.
Got an NFL appetizers coming up. We had Jordan Mills on the show last football season. He is talking to another team. So some ex-Buffalo Bills offensive linemen on the move. The latest on that Ryan Fitzpatrick move. Jordy Nelson talking to a bunch of teams. We'll tell you where the former Packer and Raider might be landing.
All right, NFL appetizers brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. We go around the NFL next and serve up the day's top stories in bite-size form. NFL appetizers in the sports bar on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.